This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
Going from Allah grant them Umrah Maqbool. No matter how many times we go, we have this desire to go again. And this is unique to the only destination in the world. I mean, you really feel the need to go again. Why is that? Why do I feel I need to go to this place all the time? There's a calling. Literally, we're being called. Why? Another interesting question, and I hope this Jumu'ah, this khutbah will put into perspective. We know that the first surah to be revealed was Iqra, Surah Al-Alaq, but it's all the way in Juz Amma. Surah Baqarah is one of the last surahs to be revealed. And some of the ayats of Surah Baqarah was right to the end of the life of Nabi Sallam, yet it is the first surah in the Quran after Surah Fatiha. Why? What is the connection? And Surah Baqarah speaks a lot about Bani Israel. Why would Allah start the Quran speaking about the Jews and the Christians? I want us to keep these two questions in mind. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the very, very first conversation of the Quran, Allah speaks about a Khalifa. That's the first time we hear Allah speaking to a creature. We'll get to that ayah in a minute. But what is a Khalifa? Today's khutbah is about the final Khalifa, the last Khalifa. Who am I talking about? Who's this final Khalifa? What is a Khalifa? In our minds, we understand the Khalifa to be this king or this ruler who will administer the government and he'll be in control. And many times we incorrectly, mistakenly feel that if Allah blesses us with a Khalifa, all our problems will be solved. Palestine will be fixed. The Ummah will be hunky-dory. The masjids are going to be full. We had many Khalifas were great and many Khalifas were not great. But what is the concept of a Khalifa? And one of the ayat, Allah says to Nabi Dawood, Ya Dawood, inna ja'alnaka khalifatan fil ard. O Dawood, I have made you a Khalifa, an authority figure in the land. I've given you authority. I've given you responsibility in the land. Now what must you do? So Allah explains what the Khalifa needs to do. Fahkum bayna an-nas bil-haq. So judge between people with truth. Make sure that there's justice in the world. Your job is to stand up against injustice. Your job is to make sure that right, the good is prevailed and sin or harm or evil is being forbidden. وَلَا تَتَبِ الْأَهْوَىٰ فَيُدِلُّكُمْ عَنْ سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. And don't follow your desires. Don't judge or don't follow your vain desires. Always stand on this path of righteousness, on justice. So this is one idea of what a Khalifa is. Khalifa is someone who's been given authority to go and do that which is to bring about righteousness on the earth. In fact, the word Khalifa is a representative, a substitute. And that is where we find the very first mention of this word in the Quran. And in fact, the first conversation in the Quran. If you open Surah Baqarah, there's an introductory, the first couple of pages about introduction, about truth and falsehood. And then the first story, the very, very first conversation in the Quran is Allah speaking to the angels. And Allah says, وَإِذْ قَالَ رَبُّكَ لِلْمَلَائِكَةِ. When Allah say, when your Lord said to the angels, إِنِّي جَعَلْ فِي الْأَرْضِ خَلِيفَةً. I intend to place on the earth an authority figure. I intend to place on the earth, if you look at the English, it says vice regent. That's even more complicated than Khalifa. I think we all know Khalifa, vice regent is more complicated. Basically, I intend to appoint my substitute, an authority on the earth to govern, to rule, basically in the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To act on Allah's authority. Allah says, I intend to place on the earth an authority figure. And this is, of course, Allah's talking about Nabi Adam. And there's so much to be mentioned about this. Allah is obviously telling the angels, this new creation will have the ability to choose right from wrong. And he will have the ability to disobey Allah if he wants to. The angels don't have this ability, don't have the disability to disobey Allah. They obey Allah perfectly. And when the angels were confronted with this, they asked Allah a question, and it's beautiful that if the angels can ask Allah a question, then we can ask sometimes our Mawlana, our Imams, no problem. They said, Ya Allah, we don't understand, why would you do this? Are you going to place on the earth a creature who will only, what is this creature going to do? May yufsidu fiha. It will cause mischief in the earth, corruption, genocide, killing, murder. They'll do all this evil. Wa yasfiku dima, and they will shed blood, they will kill each other. Wa nahnu nusabbihu bihamdika wa nuqaddisu lak. That I, and whereas we, Ya Allah, we worship you perfectly. Why would you, Ya Allah, even want to create anything more than angels? Angels are perfect. We worship you perfectly. So the angels asked Allah in a manner which they couldn't understand, why would you create something which has the ability to commit evil, the ability to reject you, the ability to commit mischief, and still give this creature, this flawed creature, the authority and the power over the earth? Angels are asking a compelling thing. They're asking a logical thing. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, sometimes He explains His laws in the Quran, that khamr is bad because of, and drugs is bad because Allah explains it in the Quran. And sometimes Allah doesn't give us the explanation. Allah just says, "Inni a'lamu ma la ta'lamun." I know what you don't know. Trust me, I know more than you know. Allah's telling the angels, I know more than you know. There's more to them than that. And the angels, of course, they understand. And then we spoke a while in many series about the creation of Nabi Adam and how Nabi Adam was created, and the angels, you know, encountered Nabi Adam. He was unique. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala endowed him with a soul. He was unlike any other creature around in Jannah. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tested the angels. And I always use this analogy, wallahi mathal a'la. We don't give analogies to Allah, but perhaps because we're corporate people here, I use the analogy of a company. Imagine there's this amazing company which was founded by this amazing chairperson. And the company is being run by these the best of directors. They are like robots. They don't sleep. They work 24/7. They don't complain. They don't make mistakes. They're almost AI robots. And one day the chairman comes in and he says, I pulled this kid off the street. He never went to any university. He has no qualifications. But I'm going to make him a director on the board. So the guys, the rest of the directors say, well, okay, he has no qualification. He doesn't do anything. He's just going to mess up. And the chairman says, don't worry. The owner says, don't worry. I know what you don't know. This guy is a superstar. This kid here has something special. Then the company goes into a crisis. Allah says, وَإِذْ كُلْنَا لِلْمَلَائِكَ So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then asks the angels to answer a question. The company goes into a crisis. And Allah is asking the angels, solve this thing. And the angel says, لَا عِلْمَ لَنَا إِلَّا مَا عَلَّمْتَنَا Allah, we can't solve this thing. We don't know how to resolve this. And then Allah says to Adam, O Adam, tell them, explain to them the answer. Give them the answer. And Nabi Adam alayhi salam, he explains and solves this problem that the angels could not comprehend. And when they did that, Allah says, وَإِذْ كُلْنَا لِلْمَلَائِكَ We say to the angels, اسْجُدُوا لِأَدَمْ Make sujood to Adam. Fall in sajda to Adam. This is not a sajda of worship, but a sajda of praise. The Adam. And they all fell in sujood except Iblis. Iblis is a different story. He's not an angel, but he's amongst the directors. So now, the CEO, the chairman is saying, directors, this kid is not only a director, he is the CEO of the company. Going forward, he's in charge. And you will take instructions from him. Great. And so this is the story. Nabi Adam is now top of the food chain. And he gets to run the company as he wants to. He's told, just don't open this file. You can do everything you want, but there's a file which is forbidden. Don't access that file. And also, this one director who stormed out, Iblis, HR tells him, don't engage with this character. He's a bad guy. Just leave him. Don't engage with him. And somewhere along the line, Nabi Adam and Iblis comes into a conversation. And Iblis basically says to Nabi Adam, have you heard of this place called Earth? Al-Ard. Because they're not in Earth. This is all happening outside of the Earth. And Nabi Adam says, yes, I've heard of this place called Earth. A miserable place. Everything that goes there dies. They have this horrible thing called Mondays. It's miserable. You get old, you get sick, you die in Earth. So Iblis says to Nabi Adam, so have you packed your bags and you're ready to go to the Earth? Because you're going to be relocated. Did you get the memo? So what memo? Remember Allah said in the beginning of the ayah, إِنِّي جَاعٍ فِي الْأَرْضِ خَلِيفَةً I intend to create someone who will be my representative on the earth. And so Nabi Adam panics. And of course he's with Hawa. And he realizes that he is mortal. He's going to die. And in Surah Al-A'raf, Iblis says to Nabi Adam, and this is why Nabi Adam fell into sin. He says, I will show you a path to immortality. There is a way, there is a formula that you can live forever. You can escape death. That file that is restricted, there's a formula in there. And when they open the file, of course this was the alarm bells go off. And Iblis is fired. Nabi Adam is suspended. And he's sent to the earth with Hawa. And they are all sent to the earth. Side note, Iblis, when he gives his exit interview, he gives a bit of a speech. Why did you do this, Iblis? And Iblis asks for his severance. He says, I'm going to be fired. I've done so many good things for this company. Give me a severance package. He said, okay, what is your severance? What do you want? Give me leave to live until the day of Qiyamah. And Allah says, I give you that. And then he says, now I will use this time for the rest of my life until Qiyamah to mislead Adam and his offspring. This is going to be my mission. And he is chucked out and he comes to the earth as well. Nabi Adam and Hawa alayhi salam, they come to the earth, and this is a very difficult, traumatic experience. From our perspective, it's very different to the Christian perspective. This was part of the plan. Allah always intended Nabi Adam to come to the earth. And one of the reasons why he had to commit a sin was for Allah to teach him forgiveness. That he has a Rabb that forgives. And so when Allah says to Nabi Adam, "Kul ihbitu minha jami'a," all of you now are expelled and you are in the earth. Nabi Adam alayhi salam and Hawa, they are searching a way to get back to Allah. And they search this whole world for a special place where their dua will be accepted. And they find it in Makkah or in Arafah. That is where they make this very deep dua, which all of us know. Rabbana zalamna anfusana. Oh Allah, we have sinned against ourselves. Very different to Iblis. Iblis in his exit interview says, because you, Allah, misled me. I will show you. Nabi Adam and Hawa, they said, we have sinned against ourselves. Wa illam taghfir lana wa tarhamna. And if you don't forgive us and pardon us, we will be lost. Without you, we are lost. Fatalaqqa Adam min Rabbi kalimat. The minute Nabi Adam said that, the minute he typed the email to apologize, he received the response immediately. The fa means immediately. Allah responded. Allah accepted his dua. And Allah pardoned him. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala now says to Nabi Adam, this was all part of the plan. This, you have everything you need. فَإِمَّا يَأْتِيَنَّكُم مِّنِّي هُدًى فَمَنْ تَبِيَ هُدَايَ فَلَا خَوْفٌ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا هُمْ يَحْزَنُونَ. This is really your job begins now. This is why you have been appointed. You are now my CEO, my Khalifa on the earth. You were never meant to be the Khalifa up there. You are the Khalifa here. And I'm not going to leave you astray. You will always get guidance from me. And so long as you and your offspring follow the instructions, you'll be okay. If you make a mistake, you already know. I just make tawbah, you will come back. But one thing, there's one offense. No warnings, no second chances is shirk. You fall into shirk and you die on that, that's it, over. Iblis knows that no matter how much sin we do, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is merciful. He will forgive even murder. He will forgive every sin, but Allah will not forgive shirk. And the only sin that will make a person enter Jahannam eternally is shirk. And so Iblis struggles with Nabi Adam and his offspring to commit shirk. For the next many, many thousand years, insan, mankind is on the earth. This is our first chapter on the earth. We are Allah's Khalifa. Some good days and bad days, but we do not commit shirk. Shirk does not exist in our species. We worship Allah alone. There are no gods other than Allah, and we worship Him alone. Iblis is trying, and he realizes he can convince us to commit zina, because there's something in us that calls us to zina, and to steal and to do that. But there's nothing in our hearts that call us to commit shirk, nothing evil. And he realized, actually, Iblis is like a psychologist, a mad psychiatrist, he realized it's not through sin that people will commit shirk, it is through worship, through devotion, through love. If I take your love and your devotion and make it go out of control, like the Christians with Nabi Isa, it is out of extreme love that they take the love that is meant for Allah and they give it to someone besides Allah. And this was the route to shirk. Iblis found out that people, when their ancestors, their ulama, their shuyukh die, we have a deep connection to the dead. And we always feel our predecessors were better than us. And so Iblis said, venerate them, honor them, build shrines and graves and statues in their honor. And these dead people have a connection with Allah, so call out to them. And eventually, these idols became worshipped. And this is the second chapter of mankind. We call it maybe mankind's failure or a cycle of destruction now. Now shirk is invented. And the first people to invent this concept of shirk were Nabi Nuh's people. And Allah sends his first Rasul, a messenger is an elite Nabi. You go and fight shirk. Nabi Nuh is the first. He's the first elite Delta Force Nabi. And he fights shirk for 1,000 years. And eventually Nabi Nuh, after basically 1,000 years, he picks up his hands and says, "Qalu, la tadharun, ya Allah." They will not abandon the idols. And they will not abandon Wad, wala yaghutha, Suwan, wala yaghutha, wa ya'uka, wa nasra. These are the names of the idols. They will not leave them, ya Allah. So Allah destroy them. Nabi Nuh feels that the only way to cure this is to amputate, that we get rid of shirk once and for all and we cure this disease forever. And so when Nabi Nuh made the dua, Allah destroyed his people. Allah then the story continues. But now, unfortunately, mankind will continue the cycle. Iblis has cracked the code to shirk. And he will teach mankind shirk again and again and again. And every time mankind would be guided, Iblis would teach them shirk, he would send a Nabi, and his people would reject the Nabi, and then Allah would destroy them. So now you have a cycle of destruction. The people of Ad and Thamud and Nabi Lut and Nabi Shu'aib's people, Madian, many, many cities. Allah says in the Quran, in Surah Yasin, how many cities have I destroyed? How many people that they deserve destruction? It's countless, it's a repetitive cycle. And this continued on until Iblis almost won the battle. All of mankind was immersed in shirk. We're going through the history of mankind. Islam, this company, if you say this company, La Ilaha Illallah Holdings Limited, was basically extinct. Even the Kaaba, this place where Nabi Adam and Hawa alayhi salam received their forgiveness, was forgotten and lost. The Kaaba was completely lost. Islam had died, basically had died. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends the reviver of Islam, the man who will bring monotheism back to humanity. The most revered human on the face of the earth, the Muslims, the Jews, the Christians, the Hindus, everybody admires this man, Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam. He comes and he is born into a city that worships idols. In fact, his dad is the idol maker of the city. And he couldn't understand, how can my dad make an idol? And that idol, which my dad made, has the power to bring the rain and to cure the cancer. It couldn't make sense to him. And so he wanted to teach his family a lesson. We all know the story. One day he goes in and he destroys all the idols in the temple. And he hangs the axe, the murder weapon, on the big idol. And when the people come to the idol, the muadzin opened the door on to make whatever adhan. He said, oh my gods, what happened to you? You're all broken. Who did this? And Nabi Ibrahim says, ask the big one, he's got the axe there, he, at least he's a witness, he was here when it happened, the crime, ask him, he saw it. And they said to Ibrahim, are you stupid, are you dumb, duh, it's an idol, it can't talk, it can't move, it can't think, it has no power, it has no ability, are you dumb, Ibrahim? And Ibrahim says, uffun lak, are you dumb, are you stupid, how are you worshipping this thing, how are you crying to this thing, how are you bringing food and wearing, you know, pieces to protect you from this thing? And so Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam challenges people, and he goes throughout the world preaching this message of La ilaha illallah. If ever, and Allah constantly reminds us in the Quran, be like Nabi Ibrahim. And the people closest to Nabi Ibrahim is this ummah. We are the ones that follow the footsteps of Nabi Ibrahim the most, this ummah. And if anybody of your non-Muslim friends and colleagues asks you, who is Allah? Nabi Ibrahim gives a beautiful, simple explanation to our theology, what tawheed is, what La ilaha illallah means. Nabi Ibrahim comes across many, many types of mushrikeen. Those who worship idols, those who worship the sun, the moon, the stars, trees, saints, whatever. And so they ask him, now what do you worship? If you don't worship anything, are you like an atheist, agnostic? He says, no, this is my religion. Nabi Ibrahim says, Alladhi khalaqani fahuwa yahdeen. The one I worship, the one I bow to the ground and I cry, is the same one who created me, and he alone guides me. My life is in his hands, that one. وَالَّذِي هُوَ يُطْعِمُنِي وَيَسْقِينَ. And he's the one that feeds me and gives me water when I'm in need. وَإِذَا مَرِدْتُ. And when I become sick, فَهُوَ يَشْفِينَ. The cure is with him. He's the only one that can cure me. وَالَّذِي يُمِيتُنِي ثُمَّ يُحِينَ. And he is the one that will make me die and he'll bring me back again. That one, whatever name you want to call him, the Creator, the Lord, the Rabb, Allah, that one is the one who I worship. And on the day of Qiyamah, I hope that he will forgive me and pardon me. I will stand before him. That is my Lord. This is our Rabb. This is who Allah is. This simple explanation, my Creator, the one who helps me in my time of need, the one who will make me die, the one who will resurrect me, and the one who I will have to answer my life for, that is Allah. And so Nabi Ibrahim revives Islam. He revives Islam. He has a little group and he settles in Jerusalem. That's where he lives, Jerusalem. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses him with a son that is going to take on the family business. And Allah says to Nabi Ibrahim, Nabi Ibrahim, where you are here is not the headquarters. The headquarters of this company is in a valley that's long forgotten in the middle of Arabia, in the middle of nowhere. Take your son there. And Nabi Ibrahim goes and he leaves Nabi Ismail to one day be the Nabi of that valley. And Allah says to Nabi Ibrahim, bring up the Kaaba, build the Kaaba, build this place, make this place a place of worship, and give the adhan, call people to come here, and they will come from all over the world. And Allah, Nabi Ibrahim, at that time there was no sawq, there was no cell phones or anything. In fact, there was no one living in Mecca. He builds the Kaaba, there's no one there, there's no inhabitants there. Allah says, وَأَذِّن فِي النَّاسِ بِالْحَجِّ. Call mankind to come here for Hajj and Umrah. They must come here. This place is a special place. And Ibrahim's like, Ya Allah, I can give the adhan, but who's going to, no one can hear me. Allah says, don't worry, you give the adhan. يَأْتُوكَ رِجَالًا وَعَلَى كُلِّ ضَامِرٍ يَأْتِينَ مِنْ كُلِّ فَجٍ عَمِيكٍ. Don't worry, you call. You give the call, I will make sure it reaches them, it reaches their hearts. And a time will come where people will come from every distant land, from the edge of the earth, the bottom of Africa, South America, China. They will come on every transportation, car, road, rail, air. They will come walking, crawling to this place. Don't worry, Ibrahim. A time will come when it's like that. You just give the call. So Nabi Ibrahim does it. So Makkah, alhamdulillah, is established, the headquarters. Then in Jerusalem, there's a second headquarters. And he has another son, Nabi Ishaq, mashaAllah. So the company has two branches now. And when Nabi Ibrahim passes away, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promises, your offspring will continue this work. And in fact, it was the offspring from Jerusalem, the Bani Israel, that were selected to carry this amana. Sadly, with time, the headquarters in Makkah got lost again. Makkah became a place of shirk. Zamzam disappeared. Something we don't know. Before the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam came, Zamzam was disappeared. It had been gone. The Arabs fell into shirk. And so this, once again, the if you think about the caliphate, the khalifaship of Islam, had shifted now. It was in the hands of Nabi Adam. And then from city to city was destroyed. Now Allah appoints this caliphate to a special family, or to a special tribe of people. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala appoints the offspring of Nabi Ishaq, or Nabi Yaqub, the Bani Israel. O Bani Israel, you people must carry the flag of Islam. And you will be a special nation. And you will be the exemplary nation which Allah, and Allah will give you Nabi after Nabi. When one dies, you get a new one. SubhanAllah. Don't worry, you're not going to only be alone. I'm not only going to tell you to follow. You will not only have imams and rabbis and maulanas. You're going to have anbiya with you continuously. Bani Israel, you need to be the people that are first in line in worshipping Allah and practicing the Sharia. And the Bani Israel, each time they fail, Allah forgives them. They are in slavery in Egypt, Allah saves them. Allah brings them back to Jerusalem. They disobey Allah, they are destroyed, Allah returns them again and again and again. Allah gives them the Torah and He sends them Nabi Dawud and Sulaiman, and again and over and over and over. Each time they disobey Allah, they transgress. But Allah sends them a Nabi. Then they get to a point where, Bani Israel is a long story, a long history. They get to the point where they are on their last chance now. Last chance. Bani Israel, you've dropped the ball many times. Last chance. They say, Ya Allah, send us a Messiah. A Messiah is a special. He's a Nabi. Born without a father. Who will conquer the world and rule the world. It's like, SubhanAllah. Allah sends them the Messiah, Nabi Isa alayhi salam. And he will rule the world one day. And he will unite all of mankind. Allah sends them the Messiah. This is the one that you've been waiting for, all the signs. He's speaking as a baby. His mother, born from a virgin. And instead of following him, they try to crucify him. They try to kill him. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala removes Nabi Isa. And that's it for Bani Israel. Now, Bani Israel have gone beyond the limits. They have, in fact, besides Nabi Isa, they killed Nabi Yahya. The previous Anbiyas, it wasn't Kuffar who killed Nabi Yahya. It was the Bani Israel themselves, subhanAllah. Allah sends you Nabi and you try to kill the Nabi. So now Bani Israel, and a period of darkness ensues. Harvard University, I mentioned this a few times, the year 570 something, the 6th century, Harvard University did a study and they said that is the worst time in human history. In the history of mankind, the true darkest age was the 6th century. And there's a hadith where the Prophet ﷺ mentioned between Nabi Isa and his advent, Allah looked at the world with disgust. There was nothing in the dunya praiseworthy anymore. Islam once again had disappeared. And shirk had prevailed. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as we know in the 6th century, Allah sends the final Nabi. And the final Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam comes not from the Bani Israel. They believed will come from them. But Allah chose deliberately from a people who were the most base, backward, uncivilized, uncultured, illiterate. Allah chose from them to be the final Nabi and to receive the final revelation. And the Quran was revealed. And that is why when you read now Surah Baqarah, it is almost a summary of all the things that happened. Nabi Adam, Nabi Ibrahim, all the stories of Bani Israel. What did they do and how they transgressed and how they did evil and evil and bad. So it's almost like a continuation. You had the Old Testament, the New Testament, the Final Testament. That's when you read Surah Baqarah, it's a continuation. And Allah is talking to the Bani Israel, you did all this, you did all this, now your time is up. But the amana, the caliphate, has not shifted yet to the Nabi Sallam. It only happens when the Prophet Sallam goes to Medina. Now we have a state. Now we are independent. Now we have, when Medina was established, we spoke about it last week, when Medina was established, now we as a ummah began. Before that, we were just a people being subjugated. In Medina, we became an ummah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts this in the Quran. Sayakulu Sufaha, this is Surah Baqarah, after speaking about Bani Israel and speaking about Nabi Ibrahim building the Kaaba, Allah says, the people who have no knowledge will say, why did their Qibla change? They were facing Jerusalem, now they're facing Mecca. Allah is saying to Bani Israel, now you have lost the leadership, it is coming to this Ummah. And the headquarters is going back to Mecca where it originally belonged, and it is going to this Ummah. No Nabi coming after this. Ma wallaw an qiblatihim kanu alayha. Say to Allah belongs the Mashriki wal Maghrib. So Allah changes the Qibla. And what is the next ayah after the shifting of the Qibla? The next ayah in Surah Baqarah, وَكَذَلِكَ جَعَلْنَا أُمَّةً وَسَطًا. And like that we made you, O Muslims, O Ummah of Muhammad Sallam, the best nation, the exemplary nation. No more Bani Israel. It is this Ummah. You will carry this amana. And unlike any other nation before, no Nabi is coming after you. That if Mecca collapses, it collapses for good. It is your job to send hajis. It is your job to go for umrah. It is your job to build masjids. It is your job to solve the problems. No Nabi is coming after this. The caliphate of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has shifted from, it has always been in the hands of anbiya. But now it is upon this ummah. It is upon every single one of us. We are that final khalifa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There is no prophets coming after this. And remember with Nabi Dawood, Allah said the job of the khalifa is to stand out against oppression, to stand up for justice, to do what is right, to call for what is good. No Nabi is going to come after that. It is you and me that needs to do this. That's why we are the last khalifa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the earth. The last people that will stand for what is right. After that, if we drop the ball, it is only Qiyamah that's going to come after this. So we inherited, we are now the owners of this company, La ilaha illallah. And it's our job to maintain it and to grow it. And Allah says about us, subhanallah, in all the history from Nabi Adam until today, كُنْتُمْ خَيْرَ أُمَّةٍ أُخْرِجَتْ لِلنَّاسِ. You are the best people, the best ummah that ever existed. With all our weakness and all our problems and all our shortcomings, you are still the best ummah. No one has preserved and maintained Islam like this ummah. That it is still in its true form. We had one Nabi, one Quran, and it's still there today. And we'll continue to fight, whether it's in Palestine or Syria, wherever it is. This ummah will not surrender and never give in. We will maintain and struggle until the day of Qiyamah. And that's what it means to be of the ummah and to be of the final, we are the final khalifa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And inshallah, I hope these words inspires each and every one of us to rise up to the occasion. It's not just your life and your family. It's about this much bigger history, this bigger picture. What do I do for the ummah? What do I give back? How do I be the khalifa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? What is my role to play in this, inshallah? May Allah accept from us and pardon us. Just a few announcements. I'd like to greet all of you. Inshallah, I will be heading off to Umrah on Tuesday. My family and I, and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us a Umrah Maqbool, a safe journey and a safe return. And for all those who are on Umrah and all those who are coming back, may Allah grant us acceptance. As I mentioned, sometimes you don't know why Umrah is not on your mind, and somewhere in your heart that call was given. And this is for every single haji or person who's gone for Umrah and comes again and again. It is that call. No Nabi is going to come to Mecca anymore, but it's the Ummah of Nabi Sallam will come and revive it. And from every part of the world, even in Cape Town, we play our role in this Ummah. So may Allah accept from us our Umrahs and grant us inshallah Umrah Maqbool. And for those who are not going for Umrah, have a blessed, fun and enjoyable holiday. Ameen. Jazakallah khair. Wa sallallahu sayyidina Muhammad wa sahbihi salam wa sallim. Alhamdulillah rabbil alameen. Assalamu alaikum wa barakatuh.
warahmatullahi wabarakatuh. Jumaah mubarak to all of you. Today is a rather special day in the annals of this masjid, as it marks the 500th time that our honourable and beloved Sheikh Muhammad West has delivered the Jumaah lecture at this masjid, mashallah. We thank the Almighty for this beautiful milestone, a journey during which we have all benefited tremendously from the Sheikh's knowledge. While we know the Sheikh is highly talented and very knowledgeable, it requires tremendous dedication and commitment to produce such well-researched topics that are relevant and contemporary week after week. The first time Sheikh delivered a Jumu'ah lecture was way back on the 17th of June 2011. And since then, Sheikh has in his unique way captured our hearts with his wonderful delivery style of dynamic and warm engagement, punctuated with appropriate lighter moments to ensure we don't fall asleep. We make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala richly reward Sheikh Muhammad West for his dedication and commitment to the deen of Islam, and we pray that he grant, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant Sheikh increasing knowledge and wisdom, long life filled with righteous deeds and dynamic leadership, and bless him and his family with health, strength, and Allah's protection, inshallah. It now becomes my singular honor to call upon another of our one-of-a-kind stalwarts of the Jamaat, the Tabib, to hand over a certificate of appreciation from the movement, along with a small token of appreciation.
Thank you.